Welcome to Big Brother, Little Sister, a Big Brother podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Erica.
Rate, review, comment on the pod, and you can find us on Twitter at BigBLittleSPod, and we would love to interact with you all. All right, well, Erica, we are here together at last in one location.
Yes, we are in Phoenix having a great time.
Where we are blessed that it is not the gates of hell this trip for you, but we are here. We went and saw Beyonce on Thursday. Wonderful show. How did you like
it? It was incredible. I was excited for it. I was wondering how much I would like it because I'm not in the highs, but she put on an incredible show. I danced. We just had the best time. There were little technical difficulties during Alien Superstar, but we got it together and it was wonderful.
Oh my gosh, that was, of all the songs to have the issues with, that was the song right at the beginning. And it was, I don't know, like seeing all the clips on TikTok throughout this entire tour, I never saw a video where something went wrong during Alien Superstar. However, we just thought maybe something was added in, you know, so we started singing along and started for like almost the whole first verse.
Yes.
Before I realized, wait a minute, nobody's on stage anymore.
Yeah, I was like, this crowd participation is going on for far too long. I mean, I will do the whole song if you want me to, Beyonce, but that was not the case.
Yeah, and then brief panic set in of what if we can't get it fixed and it's canceled? Oh, I was panicking, but fortunately she came back. Different outfit from when she first started Alien Superstar. And yeah, the rest of the show was amazing. So I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so let's acknowledge we are back from a little bit of a two-week hiatus, just work and getting ready for travel, everything kind of caught up with us, so we did not record an episode for the second week of the house. So how do we feel about how that second week went, just briefly?
I guess it went fine. It was Hysam's HOH. I was happy that Riley went home only because I was rooting for the other side of the house. No, nothing against Riley. But Hysam was on a bit of a power trip, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think it was fine. What about you?
Yeah, overall, like I was rooting for at the time what I felt were maybe the underdogs of the house coming together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ultimately they're turning into the majority big alliance of the season, so to speak. Well, I don't know, there's 5 million different alliances. But anyway, so yeah, I was rooting for them to, you know, take power. Hysam went on he got a taste of power, and that was that. So with that, he did get Riley evicted from the house. It was a unanimous vote, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Matt didn't even give his girlfriend, well, she's not his girlfriend because I don't think she's interested in him, but even Matt did not give her a sympathy vote.
Well, that's the way it goes. You can't go against the house. So with that, Riley was evicted, and who ascended to power as we start our discussion of week three? None other than Felicia.
Yes, that was so unexpected, but I was very excited for her.
Yeah, so with that, let's get into Sunday's episode as we talk about Felicia and her HOH win. I was surprised at first, just because knowing Felicia won, I hadn't seen the episode yet to show exactly what happened. But in the competition that was played, that makes the most sense of how Felicia could win, because it was very random.
See, I feel so sad that y'all, people, you and other people are talking about that like Felicia displayed no skill.
No, I don't think she had a strategy to her. How could you have a strategy here in just knocking the ball and hoping that it gets into one of the top highest scores?
I guess people throughout the episode were talking as if, oh, I'm going to aim this way or this way. I guess ultimately a lot of it's random, but I don't know. All right, fine. But I just, that makes me feel so sad that you don't think she can win a competition otherwise.
I think she can win other competitions that are trivia based, maybe memory based, but I don't have much hope from a physical side of things that Felicia would win.
I guess I have to think about the veto competition that we're going to talk about shortly. So I guess you have a point. All right.
So, but again, I don't want to not celebrate the fact that Felicia won. Mm-hmm. I am rooting for Felicia to go all the way as much as possible. But knowing there's going to be limited opportunities to win the competition, so I'm just happy that she did win. But it made sense as I was looking online and seeing that she had won. I was thinking, well, what comp did she win? Mm-hmm. So that really answered it for me. So immediately, at least the way the episode is presenting itself, we're already immediately talking into backdoor plans.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the fact that we were already talking about a backdoor and her putting up Hysum as the target?
I guess I have to think about how I feel as a viewer versus how they are in the house, because even though Hysum was on a power trip and I did not appreciate the way he spoke to Riley, and when he was talking to the professors, he really wasn't letting them get a word in edgewise. So all of that is valid, but wasn't enough for them to think they needed to get him out of the house. I don't know about that as a viewer. Like, I felt as a viewer, he would have remained loyal to them, and they were upset about his comments about kind of like not being able to choose which side of the house he wanted, and he was with the leftover folks after Riley formed her alliance. As a viewer, I just wasn't getting that he was going to turn his back on them. But if I'm in the house and I know the paranoia sets in, I guess I have to give them a little grace in trying to get him out. But what do you think?
I would agree as a viewer, or just one who enjoyed Hysum gives very good DRs. He's TV. He's good TV. And so as a viewer of the show, I was really hoping that Hysum would stay as long as possible. But again, to your point, I agree. I don't know if it was enough for me just seeing it play out, whether that was enough to be like, this is the moment to take Hysum out. Mm-hmm. This is what we have to do in this moment. I still think he would have been a great sword in a way of knocking out many other people in the house for the Professor Alliance. And then I think there would have been a better opportunity down the line to eventually get him out. But, you know, we got to work with what we're given. So immediately Felicia is, and the rest of the house is really on point to get rid of Hysum. Anything about Sunday's episode that stood out for you? Anything else in particular that maybe stood out for you on Sunday's episode?
No, I guess we should mention that even though Hysum was the backdoor target, but Felicia did put up Cameron and Jag. But other than anything else on Sunday's episode, the episodes aren't really that strong to me compared to the feeds. So I probably don't retain any little cute moments. So no, it would be no for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the episodes overall have been very weak. And I think with the strike and everything that's going on this year, I wish there was an opportunity to expand the episodes a little bit, so you have about an hour and a half each episode, and give us a little bit more time to, because I feel like, as always, they focus too much on the competition itself, and there's a little, although on this particular competition, you really didn't have much of an opportunity to cut, I guess, if they just went one ball, like one person after another. But I think there's more, with so much happening on the feeds, it is disastrous for the viewers that are just casuals to not see all the machinations that are happening in the rest of the house, and it's just a shame that there's no real other original programming happening here, so why wouldn't they take this time to expand it? Special, it's 25th season, it's a special milestone, let's give the viewers more. And I think the feeds are giving more, it's just they're not giving it to us on the actual TV episodes. But yeah, she put up Cameron and Jag for eviction, and that was really the brunt of Sunday's episode, to really kind of recap. Mm-hmm. Nothing really there, so let's move into Wednesday's episode. I think overall here, I was very happy. We got a little bit of individualized segments, especially with Mecole, because I feel like Mecole has not had any real TV time. What did you think about Mecole's segment?
Yeah, I'm so happy they featured her in the pantry. I guess people are calling it her office, where she goes to get away from people. And it's just funny how I think she was like, these are the most emotional people I've ever been around. And she was just going off. So I love that, because I didn't know what Mecole was going to do. I really like her personality. And I feel like she's in a couple of these alliances on the majority side of the house. But I think she might be at the bottom of those. And so I really want to see her win a competition, like have an HOH week to herself and make some moves so she can stand out. But I'm glad like we finally got to see a little bit of her personality.
Yeah, I really did enjoy it, because I feel the same thing. Like, y'all cry too much. It is only 2 weeks. Why are we crying so much right now? And it's frustrating, because as someone who's not an emotionally, overly emotional person to the point where I will cry about things, I probably cry maybe once every 5 years, if that. Unless I'm watching, what TV show usually always gets me? There's a TV show that gets me at the end of that I watch that I'll cry. But otherwise, generally, I don't really cry about much. And so I just get frustrated when I see these tears over, especially like when it's like Matt crying over Riley. You knew her for like 14 days. Come on. Like, I just don't get it. So anyway, I appreciated that. Corey got a little bit of a little small segment as well, apparently getting into Blue's wardrobe. How did you feel about that?
It was cute, you know, for what it was. I had forgotten about it after like a day, but it's so funny, like the commentary online was about how Jared was looking at Corey during this whole time. And can we really project something on someone? He might not have been looking like he was disgusted or whatever, but the other things that Jared has done in the house kind of would lead people to believe that that might be the case. We'll get into some of that stuff later. So that was what I noticed about that segment. But otherwise, I mean, it was cute.
Yeah, I will say, Felicia, there's a couple of things that I also was really happy with on an episode front, was with the DR from Felicia when Red had confronted, but talked to her about possible scenarios and bringing up Heisum. And I really love how good Felicia's reads are on what's happening in the situation, and how she's able to very deftly respond to understanding what's happening here. Like being able to quickly pull up the fact that Red knows. And so how she was able to navigate that, I think, is just something special that a lot of times, a lot of people have really bad reads of the situation in the house. But Felicia seems to have such a good pulse on what's really happening and is able to really read very well what's going on. I hope that continues to work well for her, but I also have a feeling like her HOH, just in watching some of the feeds, I feel like she's getting a little too I'm not going to say Heisum like at a dictator level where she's actually talking to people, like talking and down to people, or in a way that Heisum was. But when she's amongst her close folks, mm-hmm. she's getting very, what's the right word I want to say? Almost turning into a little bit of a mean woman.
Yeah.
And how she's talking about people on the feeds. And, you know, it happens, but I just worry that stuff doesn't come out down the line as people eventually have to turn on each other. And I just wouldn't want that dynamic to then play out against her, because now it's like, I'm going to use all the stuff you said against you. But yeah, I think overall the Felicia's reads are really good. What did we think about the veto comp?
Well, before we get into the veto comp, I think we should explain a little bit because about what you said about her read, because they left Red out of the plan to backdoor Hysam. And I believe, who was it? Was it Cameron who told him? I forgot how Red found out, but they left Red out of it all. And then he had to go and confront, like you said, it was not an exact confrontation, but he talked to Felicia about it. And that's when she immediately picked up that he knew. He knew about the backdoor plan. There are so many alliances, so forgive me. To me, it was like he knew the conversation was about him finding out about the backdoor plan for Hysam. He may have found out some more information about alliances or whatever, but there are so many alliances in this darn house, I can't even remember. But yes, so I agree with you. I was really impressed with Felicia there. As far as the veto comp, I enjoyed it. I thought it looked easier than I guess it was, because I was like, really, you just have to go through this slime and then put your eggs in the basket? Like, I feel like I would have done well on it, but I could be entirely wrong. I think the best part was Felicia struggling through to get her one egg and then rolling through all the hay, and it was just really hilarious to watch.
Yeah, I really... as much as she struggled, I was very, it was good TV just to see it. And I mean, me, I would have given up after the first, and like, I would have been like full of struggling for that first egg. And after that first egg, I just would have been like, okay, and just lay there like a beached whale. However, I was glad that, but then she just started rolling over. And I think Sari was like, she like a rotisserie chicken cooking. So no, I thought the veto comp was a little fun comp. One that didn't take too much time, but just grueling in a way that, again, this is why I think the way that their physical comps are structured, I don't have much faith that Felicia and there's other house guests in there that I don't know would be able to really pull off,
yeah,
on those physical comps. So that I think there's further evidence there. But with that, Jag ends up winning the veto. I felt like he was really in command of it the entire time. At least the way it came off on TV, mm-hmm. It was never in doubt that he was in the lead and stuck with the lead. So now backdoor Hysam plan is in full swing. I found something that I found interesting was just how, and Hysam really, again, proved everyone's point when they showed the clip of him talking to Felicia right after the veto, and he immediately started to say who should be the replacement nom, mm. and just like dictating mm-hmm. how it goes instead of, hey, what do you think? How do you want this to play out? Really trying to build consensus. Hysam was just like, no, this is what needs to happen, and here's why. And so he kind of proved that the point all over again, that this is why you need to go. I just don't know I like Hysam. He was good TV. So I was very worried, about his chances here. And I know they didn't show this on when they didn't talk about this on Wednesday's episode, but throughout the whole week, there was all that talk of a potential flip. And I think we'll talk more about it on Thursday, but yeah, I think here, there was the one thing that he said as he was talking. I forget who Hysam was talking to, but Felicia used the line against him.
Oh, yeah. Why take out
the knight when you
can take out a king?
Yeah.
Yeah, during the veto speech, which I guess, as the kids say, she thought she ate with that.
A Okay, but I was gonna say I did think she ate with that.
I guess, but I was so annoyed by this point about all targeting him that I wasn't really impressed. I was just like, okay, that was cute, whatever. But I didn't think she ate, but I guess so.
It was interesting because her nomination ceremony little speech court was in session, and it's now like. I didn't get that, so I was like, but this one was like, no, I thought that was good, because it's like a, you know you said this, mm-hmm. so you know what this is about. I was like, if you know.
Yeah.
And so I liked it.
I guess I would have been more impressed if you're taking out an actual threat, or somebody on the opposite side, like a really big move, and I guess it is a big move in a sense, but I don't know, it just didn't really impress me, whatever, maybe.
All right, so with that, that's the end of Wednesday's episode here. Let's talk about Thursday's episode, and I think this is where we get more of the, at least from the viewer, from the casual viewer's perspective, a little bit more insight into why Felicia, Izzy, and some of the other professors were feeling the way that they were feeling. How did you think all of the criticism that Heisen was receiving was fair?
Yeah. I don't count this as spoiler territory because it happened during this week, but on the live feeds, we saw a little bit of it actually on TV. I can't remember which day, but you know, Heisen was having his one-on-one with Felicia and Felicia was kind of explaining herself. I just felt like that whole conversation was condescending. I guess it always is when somebody is really ready for you to go home and you have to kind of plead your case. I was just really uncomfortable during that whole conversation. Like, again, it kind of felt like Felicia was on her high horse a bit. I guess the tables had turned. I guess it was karma for Heisen, I guess, because she was really just, to me, treating him like a little kid. And it was funny, though, when she was like...
Sorry, it's my fantasy football league. The draft is on, so sorry.
It was a little funny when she was like, can I give you a hug? And he said no. Which I was like, that's valid. It's okay, Heisen, you have to give her a hug. Like, I don't want to hug you when you're sending me home, so...
I agree. I'm like, yeah, I'm all for the non-hugging thing. I think were we just having this conversation to ourselves where we were talking about, I think it was last season or the year before.
Trying to think of the person who said, guys, I'll save the hugs till later when they were evicted. We couldn't remember who it was.
Yeah, but no, I'm all for not feeling like I need to hug you. Like, what? I hate this whole fake hugging thing of, oh, I just nominated you. Here's a hug.
Yeah.
No. So I appreciated that. However, I feel like there's a different take. I don't know if I don't think I felt Felicia as being condescending towards Heisen. I actually thought it was a very appropriate, and well-intentioned conversation. Mm. But I do think, I think the overall criticism was fair. I'm just not, and again, because I didn't hear exactly how Heisen was talking about, like, and how he got brought in, how he, there was that whole commentary around him feeling like he was just given the leftovers. I didn't hear that exact conversation. And so, but him, the way Izzy was like very hurt by it. And I appreciated the fact that Heisen was just like, I'm sorry. You know, it wasn't my intention, but mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and kind of didn't really get super defensive about it. It was very refreshing seeing someone kind of take that take whatever criticism, whether it's fair or not, and he actually just took it and kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
So I was very appreciative of how he really handled being blindsided. I mean, yes, it's fun to think about good TV and like the explosiveness of like, seeing someone kind of explode and maybe hope that there's little arguments and fights. But this was also good TV and watching him respond in a way and pivot in a way that almost got him to stay if things worked out in a different way, in which the show did not even talk about mm-hmm. because there was all this talk about the flip. And that's the second time now, because there was originally during for Riley's eviction, they were almost about to flip to keep Riley and get Cameron out, but that flip never happened. And I have this, I hate this thing about Big Brother is when there's a talk of the flip happening, they tease it on the show, but then what happens afterward, they don't really do a good job of actually teasing it. Or we know, we as that watches the feeds or pays attention to stuff or gets updates wherever, we know usually by the time Thursday happens, who's getting evicted. But I was very upset with the fact that they didn't even go into the fact that Corey essentially stopped this flip from happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Corey played a role, but I think Sari, Izzy, and Felicia always go back and forth. I don't know if we can really credit Corey, because just going back and forth but ultimately not doing anything is what they do. Like, so I don't know, but I was happy that Corey put his foot down. I'll also say, I think they realized they would have to get the whole house on board. They would be upsetting part of the house because everybody is on board with taking Hysam out. And so if you change course, you're going to anger the other side of the house, which you think would be, I mean, that's a no-brainer, but they went down this whole road and then eventually realized, you know what, we're going to make the whole other side of the house mad if we do this. And but then another thing, though, that was interesting is apparently they got wind from Jared that Hysam has said never trust Izzy, Felicia, or whoever again. And apparently Sari was telling Jared, like, if you had brought this information to me earlier, blah, 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 that we wouldn't have gone back and forth with the flip. Whatever. I don't know. Those three are just paranoid. I really will put it on Sari and Izzy. And then Felicia just, I don't know why Felicia goes along with whatever plan, whatever harebrained scheme that the two of them come up with. Like, it's just so weird. So, I guess.
Okay, you bring up a valid point. And one of the other things that I don't think, if we're talking about the, Hysam did go on a spilling all the beans spree.
Yes.
That, so you're right. I and me talking about that, he did go on a, all right, well, you put me up, I'm going to spill the beans on things. And so there was that wasn't shown as well. And I did forget that Hysam did kind of go on a spilling the beans tour, mm-hmm. After he did get put up for eviction. I worry with these potential flips. And again, because it seems like they get to a point where they have enough votes to flip and then something happens. At some point, when are people just going to be like, I can't even trust that this is a thing, because y'all just keep bringing up these flips and then nothing ever happens. So when you really do need to flip, you won't be able to, because how many times have you started the process but never followed through? That's my real concern, is there is going to be a time when you really do want to flip the vote, but you're never going to be able to make it happen, because how many times have we had these false starts?
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, we get to eviction, another unanimous one here. Mm-hmm. Hysam is evicted. What do we think about all the call-outs, shout-outs during...
during the voting? Yeah, we're tired of them. Like, they just... they have to go through their whole friends list and family list before they exit. And it's just, it's getting really annoying. Like, I really want Big Brother to ban shout outs at this point.
Yeah, I'm okay if you want to shout out one person, but I don't need the whole litany of folks of your entire family roster going through. So yeah, I'm getting frustrated with that. I think it really became a problem, like, few seasons ago, where I really started to pick up on it. So yeah, with that, we're not done with Thursday's episode, because we have a couple of things. America gets to vote, and we'll kind of go into how do we feel about this particular America? It was Julie Chen announced that America will be able to vote in for a new power of invincibility.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, I guess. I don't want America to be involved at all, But I've just resigned myself to the fact that America is going to be involved. And I think generally they get it right because we naturally want to root for the underdog. And I think most of the time America selects an underdog in this situation. So I'm okay with it. The power, remind me, Brian, what is the power of invincibility?
Okay, so if I remember correctly, America will vote for whoever they want, and then the top four getters of the vote will then compete in some competition. So whoever out of that four wins that competition will then have the power to essentially bring back whoever's evicted over the next 2 weeks. And that can include themselves. So if they get evicted, they can then use this power of invincibility to come back in the house. But if they weren't the one that it was evicted, they can use that power to then save whoever was evicted. So we're still going to go through the process of evicting. I assume we'll still go through the whole vote and then, you know, you're evicted. And then I'm sure there'll be some little flash of lights or something. If they decide to use the power, that'll then explain, oh, you were evicted, but because of this, you're now back in the house.
So with that said, I am actually looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to it because, again, we have a trio running the house, Ceri, Izzy, Felicia. I like them, but I want something to shake up the house. And a competition hasn't done it yet, so maybe this will do it for me.
I worry about a couple of things, because what season was it? I think it was BB20. Was that with Christy Murphy and Tommy? Because I feel like this power was brought before in a prior season. I think it was BB20, where Christy Murphy had this power, but she didn't use it. So it kind of just sat there.
Oh.
And I worry again. We've had this with other seasons as well, like the cookout season. There was that power someone won this power and they never used it.
Okay, yeah.
And this is what I worry about with these powers. So how do you get these powers, and then how do they use it? Because it's just frustrating to see this. And then especially on our end, a lot of times the person who has the power, we're giving it to them because they are the underdog and it's like supposed to help in a way, but they can't use it. So I just worry that this power is going to be won and no one's going to be able to use it. However, we'll still see who eventually wins this power, and hopefully they use it and it shakes up the game a little bit.
Yeah.
So with that, let's talk about a few things about couple pop blossoming showmances. One, we have, do we think this is a blossoming showmance or is this going to be a withering showmance of Blue and Jared?
I think it's going to be a withering showmance. So originally I didn't think it was real, and I thought they both hated each other and were playing each other, which I guess could still be the case, but they seem to be into each other enough. I mean, we'll talk more about their relationship in the spoiler section, but I guess it's they're interested at least in the house. I don't expect it to last outside the house. And plus, he has a girlfriend. I mean, Twitter seems to be convinced that whenever he's shouting out Kenzo or Kinsey, that's his girlfriend. And he shouts her out every single Thursday. And so it's really awkward. But even if he didn't have a girlfriend, this relationship or whatever, it irks me. It's not cute. I don't like either of them. And which was funny because we thought Blue was going to be a star of the season. And I think she's been a flop. Sorry. And so they're both grating. So I'm tired of them. I desperately want one of them to get evicted.
I will agree. Blue was a flop. I said it. I had high hopes and she's just flopped a bit. And while there's definitely some things to say for as we talk about spoilers, but some of this stuff happened during the week, so I don't think it's a spoiler at this point. But he's kind of problematic.
He's very problematic.
Let's talk about that. You know, I think one of the first things that he was talking about was asking her about her body count.
Yeah.
What is it with people needing to find out someone's body count? Why do we care? Well, I mean, you're straight. Help me understand. why is this a thing?
I don't know. It's misogyny and it's a double standard. Like, men just want women to be pure, that they want to date. Like, they want to, like, have flings with women who are not pure, but if they want to be in a relationship with them, then they have to be quote-unquote pure, and they get to define what is pure and what isn't, and they are not subjected to the same guidance, so the same guidelines. So that's all that is. But, like, it's one thing to ask the question, but then to keep asking. Like, she told you no once, but you were kept being like, okay, but actually, but why? Why won't you tell me? Why won't you tell me? And he just kept bugging her about it, and that was... That's like even worse than the question. She told you she didn't want to talk about it, but you didn't, you wanted to keep pressing her about it. And then, you know, he said other things like, again, these quote unquote traditional things that women need to do. Like, she needs to cook for him. She's not allowed to fart. She's not allowed to burp. It's just really kind of cringeworthy. And the fact that his mom is in the house and she has to watch this back, it's going to be so awkward for them. But also, I wonder how Saree, like, we know Saree doesn't like this relationship for the game, but Saree is also aware of this girlfriend that he has back home. And it's just, I just feel bad for Saree. Honestly, I wish they would have just brought Saree in and not Jared.
Like, right.
This is bad for her.
Well, and yeah, clearly, I loved the, was it Thursday's episodes where they were showing her facial expressions,
yeah,
cut in with the music. Like, sometimes the editing is spot on with how they're able to do stuff like that. But yeah, it's terrible for his game. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. But I just want to ask, like, misogyny, okay, yeah, but why? I guess, again, I'm very curious, because it's like, for me, someone, I'm gay, I've had lots of sex, whatever, you know, but I don't get the whole pure thing. I don't get, like, because I would look at it from, oh, you've got some experience, good, fun, we're gonna have fun. Like, you should know what you're doing in bed. Like, I don't know. Like, I view it as a, and again, if you're being responsible with yourself and not being reckless, and, you know, if you're being active, you're doing all the necessary things to protect yourself and the people you're having relations with, why is that why I just don't get it. Men are straight men. Are y'all okay?
No. The answer is no, they're not. But again, we can't really feel sorry for Blue, because you keep entertaining him after all the stuff he said. You're still entertaining this relationship. And then she and America were like, oh, we're changing Jared. So, like, they think they can, she thinks she can change him. It's just a really awful thing to watch. But it's like, a lot of women in their 20s go through this, dating really terrible men. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. I just don't want to see it. And that's part of the game. I hate showmances, but when it's a annoying showmance, it makes it even worse.
Yeah, fair. So there's also Corey and America. We don't know if this is a flirtmance, faux-mance, or an actual showmance that's blossoming, but there seems to be something brewing with those two.
I think we do know at this point that she likes him. What we don't know is whether he truly likes her. And I guess, well, let me ask you this question. What do you think about the age difference? Because he's 21. I believe he's still in college. She's 27. Like, that's only 6 years, but when I think about a 20-year-old man versus a 27-year-old woman, and especially, I guess, knowing a little bit about both of them, it just kind of makes America look a little thirsty to me. But what do you think?
So, in the grand scheme of things, the 6-year age gap is not a problematic age gap.
Mm-hmm.
However, 21-year-old... and a 27-year-old, I think there are challenges that presents itself in where each person is in their life. But I don't think it's anything. I think it truly depends on the two people and whether or not personality wise they can mesh. So, but yeah, I don't think the age gap is. I don't think the age gap is anything that's like setting off any alarm bells. But I do think they could be at two different spots in their life, because I think Corey is still in school.
Yeah, I think so.
And so still going through the college experience. America's out. She's graduated. She's got her degree. And she's out of that space in a professional world working and trying to build a career, et cetera. Or at least, you know, I think so, et cetera. And I think that could be setting up some challenges. But, yeah, I don't think it's problematic or anything of that nature. But I can see where one person out of the two may be like, I'm in a different spot. And I want more. I want something different than a 27-year-old may want. Mm-hmm. So, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Was Felicia, out of everybody in that house, was she the perfect person to take out Hassan?
I don't think perfect is the right word. Because, again, based on what I said earlier, I don't think his own alliance should have taken him out. So I guess my answer is no, because somebody on the other side should have taken him out. But what do you think? I think you're getting at something else that I'm not seeing.
Yeah, so the angle I'm looking at here is because the common commentary that I would pick up on was, oh, like when they were originally thinking about flipping the vote, when they were when they were saying, hey, reason to keep Cameron is because Cameron had said he wanted to take out Heisen. And then one of Cerie's comments was, oh, well, good, because then you become target number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so the running theme would have been, oh, whoever takes out the next big threat is then the next big threat. So it becomes this whole cycle. And so with Felicia, the reason I'm wondering, was she the perfect person to take Heisen out? Because for Felicia, no one is now at this point saying, you are the big threat
right.
now. We've got to go after you. And mm-hmm. that's why I'm wondering, she may have been the perfect timing everything to be like, yeah, I can take him out and not suffer the repercussions of that. Even though, yes, it was her alliance. The alliance came to it, but they don't view her. And this can work in her favor. But I think she's got to lean into it a little bit and win the comps that make sense for her to win. When she can, but I think she can lean into it and work for that in her favor. No one's going to be like, oh, Felicia's such a big comp beast threat. We got to take her out. Strategically, I think Felicia is there, but I think she can lean into that a little bit and just win the comps that she might need to just to have something on the resume.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Felicia could, in theory, kind of sneak on by to the end. And again, when we get into the spoilers and we talk about all the different alliances that are now out there, she is in this mix of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So she can really speak to how she's been in all of these conversations. And I just think that I think that's why she was the perfect person to take him out.
Okay, I think that's a great point. Yeah.
I got another question for you. Does production hate Izzy?
I don't think they hate her. I think you mentioned this before, like they don't know how to edit her. Because Izzy is doing a lot. She is perpetually paranoid. She requires an incredible amount of assurance that you still want to work with her. And she's super hyper and energetic. And we see none of that on the episodes. So I don't know that they hate her. I just think they don't know how to edit her. But I think we need a new production team, because this whole season has been like really lackluster when it comes to what they're including in the episodes. So yeah, I think it might just be incompetence and not hate.
Okay. Because Izzy is a lot. So I get that, but I'm frustrated because I feel like Izzy is not given her fair credit. They're focusing Cerie and Felicia. But Izzy's also in there. Mm-hmm. She's driving things. She's getting, you know, and I just feel like if Izzy finds her way to being in the final three, what are the casuals going to think? Because all of this time, they've really not shown her part. Now, maybe that'll change in the, you know, when we get to the jury phase of things, and maybe they'll find a way. But Izzy is going to Izzy. And if you can't figure out how to get Izzy some screen time now, how are you going to do that when it really matters and she's going to continue to Izzy?
Just, yeah. And I think what they should have shown is when she was talking to the camera at one point, wondering, like, am I messing up my individual game? Like, am I really just playing for Saree and Jarrett to win this? Like, what do I need to do? And so far, she hasn't changed course. But if later she does, and especially if she spills that secret or does something to take either Saree or Jarrett out, it would be great to have that conversation shown so we can see the trajectory. So, yeah, I think they're really missing out.
Production, get it together. All right, let's switch it up a little bit and bring back one of our segments from last year. Let's talk about winners and losers of the week. I'm not going to put a limit on, like, if you have maybe two people, you're
no,
kind of...
No, I feel like, no, no.
Do we need... Okay, all right,
let's keep it to one of each.
All right.
And so, you go first.
No! Okay, fine. I am going to say my winner of the week, and it's Felicia. Kind of bringing back what I had already talked about, I think... One, to win the HOH, one, you're already kind of, you have the power, you've made all the decisions of the week, but you backdoored one person that immediately presented themselves as a big competition threat, and you were still able to then find a way where no one is talking about you as the person to get out. How do you came out unscathed. You had all the metaphorical blood on your hands, and you have somehow come out unscathed and in stronger positions than ever before. So yeah, Felicia is my winner of the week.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. We're on the same page. I picked Felicia as well for all the reasons you just said. Yeah.
All right. Now, loser of the week.
It has to be Hysam. As much as I want to say Jarrett because I don't like that man... it has to be Hysam. Like, he just shot himself in the foot with the way he was acting, and he couldn't, even though he was really apologetic and he took the criticism well, he just wasn't able to dig himself out of the hole. And I couldn't find another loser, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know it. Last year when we did this, there were some weeks where I didn't pick the actual person who got evicted as the loser. But in this week, yeah, Hysam was the loser of the week. It's unfortunate. And there were a couple of times where I was knowing what was happening, like on Sunday's episode when he said, oh, I'm in such a good spot. I'm safe for the week. I don't have to worry. I'm like, what is, like, one of my cardinal rules I have to always, if I were in that house, is to say, I can never think of myself as safe. Mm-hmm. I've always got to operate under the assumption that unless I'm the HOH or we've gone through the veto ceremony, I'm not safe. I can always be a potential target. And to not just have that thought in the back and to just is... It's frustrating to see where someone's just like so assured of themselves that they are safe, when in reality you should never be giving yourself that comfort until all the scenarios, until all the competitions, everything's played out. So where it's like after your veto ceremony, then you can kind of relax and say, yeah, I'm safe for this week. How do I then set myself up for the next week? Let's go to that. And I just don't think he, and again, You assumed incorrectly, and I think so many future players are going to be like, shit, I got to stay on my toes now because I got to worry that this alliance that I'm in could essentially stab me in the back at any moment's notice, which you should be assuming that in a general. So, yeah, he's my loser of the week. All right. With that, we do want to talk about alliances, however. Because a lot of alliances were even just formed over the last few days, this is kind of like we're now entering some spoiler territory. So if you don't want to know anything of what's happening since Thursday's episode, which Oh, we forgot, because I think we were saving this to talk about during the live feed, but the pressure cooker competition, which we'll talk about in more detail during next week's episode when we talk about Sunday, because we want to talk about the pressure cooker competition. So if you don't want to know anything about that, go ahead and stop listening. Thanks, but let's get into this. So while we were at Beyonce, pressure cooker was the competition for HOH. Now I'm going to ask you, because during my boycotts of Big Brother, I really didn't know pressure cooker, but kind of, how did you feel knowing that that was coming back from knowing you were watching it when pressure cooker was a thing?
Yeah, I was super excited because I just think with old Big Brother, we just had better, more compelling competitions and competitions that were truly endurance. Like, we like to call the wall an endurance competition, which it is, but it doesn't last long. Like those people went through it in old school Big Brother, and they were just tougher because they were willing to tough it out. Some deals were made, yes, but it's not like it was just, I guess even there were probably instances where there was a big majority alliance, but there were far more, I guess, little pockets and discussions, and not everybody just went the way of the house. And I'm so tired of that in this new era of Big Brother. And so I was just super excited to see that again. I did not have faith in this cast. I thought, while I was excited, I just did not expect anybody to last really long. So I was pleasantly surprised coming back from Beyonce to see that they were still in there. So that, I was like, oh my gosh. And I even stayed up as long as I could, got up in the middle of the night to keep my eyes on it. So it was really exciting. I think it has to be the most exciting competition of this new era for me. You know, it's an old competition they brought back, but it's the most fun I've had watching a competition in the last several years.
I would agree with you. I think this competition had me doing the same thing. You went to bed, and then I think I stayed up for another hour or so, but it was one of those things where, shit, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm still invested in trying to say, oh, let's see what's happening with the wall comp. I'd just be like, I'll wait until I hear, we know what's going on. And do they show the wall comp on the
They piece? Do. Yeah, and so that's fun. I'll give them that, but it doesn't last very long.
Yeah. So this was good. I don't think they broke the record that was from season 6.
They got close.
But they did get close. Mm-hmm. What we do know, and I'm intrigued of how they show this on this show, because we were at Beyonce when it was going down, but Ceri, Jared, and Izzy were the first three out, right?
Yes, and I was livid. I was livid. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Especially Jared. What the heck? And then, again, it's just pressing a button. So, and forgive me, Felicia couldn't compete because she was HOH.
But Felicia was in her robe just watching.
She was just watching. So it was really, yeah. But anyway, yes, Jared, Izzy, Izzy and Ceri, forgive me. I was so mad. Why couldn't you? But at least when I found out more information, Izzy lasted a few hours. So I guess I can't really be mad at her, but it's more Ceri and Jared, what the heck? So I'm interested in seeing that on Sunday's episode, since I didn't see it on the feeds, but I was just really mad about that.
Yeah, and I think we found out that America participated in something with this Mr. Beast person.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, but I've seen so many TikTok this references, or I need to look into find out who is this Mr. Beast. What does he do? What is his story? Because I feel like I've heard that name many times before, not even part of Big Brother, but just in general online. I don't know what he does. But she did this competition where she had to keep her finger on an app. And I think she did it for 46 hours.
Something like that. Yeah, 2 or 3 days. Yeah.
So America came in prepared. Also, America was the one really explaining it to folks, which, I was giving America, I was not, America, I am slowly starting to warm up to.
Same.
I'm really starting to see, wait a minute, I think she might be a serious player. So I don't know if we still, she's still on the outskirts. So she's in some alliances now.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm starting to warm up to America. So when we got back, it was Cameron, Red, America, Nicole, Bowie Jean, or Jane, and then
Blue and Jag. And Matt.
Yeah. And then they kind of slowly, I fell asleep when I think it was still Cameron, Red. I think Nicole was still in there when I fell asleep.
And yeah.
And I think America was as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but ultimately, we find out that Cameron was the one who won. How are we feeling about Cameron winning HOH?
Well, initially, I was really, really excited. Because, again, like, while I like Ceri and them, I want someone to shake up the house. And I knew Cameron was going to gun for it. And I was rooting for either him or Nicole. Because I felt like they would be the ones to try to shake things up a little bit. Maybe Nicole less so, but I was excited to see Cameron win. And when I was really excited when it got down to Cameron, Corey, America, and Nicole. Corey said he threw it. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll see more about that on Sunday because he wants to keep playing both sides of the house. I don't know what happened to Nicole. But then apparently Cameron made a deal with both Nicole and America not to put them up. And America actually threw it once she had Cameron's word. And that really boggles my mind. I was like, America, this is your comp. Like, why didn't you stay the course and try to win it? So I need more information on that. That makes me look at America a little bit sideways. But yeah, I was initially excited. But then his noms, I mean, putting up Blue and Jag, it just, I don't know, it didn't really gag me.
No, it didn't. I think it just showed that he's made his decision on which side of the house he's playing with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are still some tantalizing possibilities of what's going to happen, how this week will play out with a Blue and Jag nomination. Just as we kind of saw some things shake up yesterday and just... but with that, there was a veto comp yesterday, and we're recording on Sunday. So when we say yesterday, we mean Saturday, but the, veto comp, and then Cameron won that as well.
No, we thought Cameron did, but
it was Red. It was Red won it. And I believe there was some kind of talk of maybe using the veto to like change up the nomination. I thought I remember briefly watching something yesterday with Ceri and Felicia where they were talking about, oh, it's such a stupid idea to take someone down. But we do know that I feel like Jag has been really trying to make a run for it of saving himself and letting some things spill. Looks like Corey might be finding himself in a little bit of trouble as well. What are your thoughts about where we're kind of...
I don't see the veto being used. And I see... Okay, I mean, let's just get into it. So much stuff has happened, I almost don't even know where to start. But Corey is in hot water because he's been giving America information and America has been taking it back and saying Corey's name. So Ceri and them are fed up with Corey. So he might be going sooner than I anticipated. But I think there's some talk of keeping Jag, but I think that mostly has they're considering it for a couple reasons. One is because they feel like Jag is a better competitor than Blue, so they can basically weaponize Jag to get the other side of the house out. So that's one. The other thing that was revealed early this morning, Sunday morning, is that Jared stupidly told Blue that his mom was in the house, but he said it was Felicia.
Did he say it, or are we just assuming that it's maybe that's what Blue kind of interpreted? Like, was there actual... confirmation that he did say it was Felicia that was his mom?
I haven't seen the Felicia part. I've only read it from other people watching Big Brother, but I saw the video footage where Jarrett says, I have a secret. And then all I hear him say is, it's my mom. And then Blue is like, for real? Are you serious? Whatever. How does it? And then Blue stupidly says, how does this affect me? But so I didn't get him saying the full sentence of my mom is in the house, but he says it's my mom. So everyone, you know, according to everyone else on social media, she's under the impression that Felicia is Jarrett's mom. There is some concern that she may not actually believe him. So all day I've been just watching the feeds and watching my phone to see if Blue spills this information. She's a dummy if she doesn't, because she is in peril right now. So if somehow Jarrett really said that and this comes out, then I could see the vote flipping to get Blue out of the house. But if not, I fully expect Jack to go. Now, apparently, Saree did have a conversation with Jarrett today trying to test the waters of getting rid of Blue. I don't exactly know how he took that news. But as of right now, no one knows that Jarrett allegedly told Blue his mom was in the house. So we'll see how that plays out.
How does no one know? Like,
I know.
How is Blue not running to someone else to... I mean, maybe you need to process the information and find a way how to deal with it. So maybe that's what Blue is doing. Maybe I'm still trying to hold out for Blue to be this wonderful player, and she's going to find a way to use this information to her advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Did you want to say anything else about the alliances? Because you had mentioned that.
Yeah, I just think there's like 5 million different alliances, and it's hard to keep track. And I think it's hard for the players to continually keep track, because there were lots of conversations that I was listening in on, and like even Felicia, she would say, oh, and she keep talking about the six. Mm-hmm. But really, the person she was talking to was really like the 7-person alliance with them or whatever. So it was interesting. But I think the alliance structure overall is Saree is at the top of everything. Like, mm-hmm. Saree, it's going to be interesting how Saree goes about this if she ever wins an HOH. She is literally in an alliance with everyone. She's in an alliance with everyone.
Yeah.
So I was going to say she's in alliance with everyone. So good TV would be one of these random competitions. She wins. What does she do? Because everyone is going to expect her to be like, we're in an alliance. You can't put me up.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, Saree is at the top of this, of every single structure, but there were some new alliances born this week. We got the Legend 25, which has, I believe, if I want to, Saree, Izzy, Jared, Corey. No, I'm looking at that one wrong. No, Corey's not in Legend 25. There's plenty. There's 7 Deadly Sins. We got a new one, For Real, For Real. What else do we have? Crossroads. Is Make It Happen also a new one?
Maybe.
Then we have the Unreliables.
Gosh.
I'm trying to think. Oh, there's... Yeah, what else am I missing? Is that everything that's new?
Everything, yeah.
And out of all of those alliances that I just mentioned, I believe Saree is at every single one of them, maybe except the Unreliables. I don't think Saree is part of the Unreliables. Mm-hmm. I believe that's just Corey, Jag, and maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was America, Corey, and maybe Matt?
Maybe.
But I could be wrong. I don't know.
I can't keep track of all of that. I'm
not even going to try anymore.
I'm trying to remember and just, but yeah. So those are all the alliances that I remember kind of that I see that are new as part of the structure. But I think the big thing with that is, again, just Saree has just, she's done a masterful job from a strategy side of insulating her. It's just going to be now, what do you do with that go forward? Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that go forward? And that's really interesting to watch, because this is a player that's not dominating in a fashion of winning competitions. She's dominating in the social aspect of the game, and how she navigates that is really going to be telling. And I really am looking for, I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but if Ceree finds herself in the final two, I want to see her speech that she gives and talking about all of this.
I'm
getting very excited about that possibility.
Yeah. One other thing I do want to talk about before we go is who hates each other. Like, that's really interesting to me, like, because some people are starting to hate each other that you didn't expect. So Matt hates America. And, you know, unfortunately, he's been calling her out of her name a couple times, which is not cool. But it's kind of interesting to see that relationship. And then I think we've known, and again, they have not showed this on the episodes, to my knowledge, Izzy hates Cameron. To the point where, like, this week when Cameron's in power, people have been pulling Izzy aside. Like, you got to fix your face. Like, you cannot look disgusted at the HOH all the time. So that is a thing. But a new thing is Ceree and Felicia and Izzy to an extent and Jared, they hate Boey Jane. Like, they hate her. And they're so mean. Like, going back to how Felicia is talking about everybody, she's been talking about Boey Jane, like, during Pressure Cooker, she was like, and she has no rhythm, so she can't be a DJ. I don't believe it. They were talking about that. And then Ceree has started to call her Teeth as a nickname. I think because she's just always cheesing and smiling. Like, she's not contributing anything to the game. And they hate when she walks in the room. Ceree will put on her sunglasses like, oh, here comes Boey Jane. There's a meme of Felicia going, effing Boey Jane. Like, people have turned that into a meme. And I'm just like, y'all really don't like this woman. Is she really? I mean, she's a non-factor. But other than that, she really hasn't done anything to you all. And then Jarrett, when Jarrett was telling Izzy that she needs to fix her face around camera, he was like, take me for example. I can't stand Boey Jane. I, like, feel myself snarling when she comes in the room, but I fix my face. And I was just like, Lord! So now, apparently, Boey Jane is starting to pick up on the fact that Izzy doesn't like her. So she actually went to Ceree to talk about that. And Ceree's been comforting her. And it's like, Ceree doesn't even like her. So I feel bad for Boey Jane in that sense. So it'll be interesting to see how this relationship plays out, because Boey Jane has been nothing but loyal to them.
Interest. We were talking about this earlier, and I think this is just, but there's like this whole large group dynamic at play, and I think a lot of times you are going to have those tensions. There are going to be certain times where just people in the group that just annoy you at certain points, and I think it's making it worse because they're around each other 24 hours a day. I think it's something probably so small that initially started as just this weird tick about Boey Jane that they were probably just like, okay, but it's just making it worse because you're around each other all day, every day. Am I sitting here advocating for people being mean to people for no reason? No. But I also think it's just sometimes when you're in large groups, there's just this one person that you like enough, but, you know, there's just something that you just don't like. And then you're around them more and more. And then it's kind of like, it brings it out a little bit more. And in this case, you don't have the break of time away to kind of let it cool down. So it's adding on and adding on and piling on. But it's unfortunate that at the same time where it's just like, what is the real issue at hand here? What's bugging me? What's bugging me about you? And then just say, hey, I don't know what it is. Do we even know what the source of the irritation with Boey Jane, what it was that made?
No.
Oh, well. I mean,
I don't know, at least. It might be there, but I don't know.
So it's interesting, but this is one of those things where people always need to be aware of how things are going to play out in the jury once people make it to jury. And it's something like this. And again, whether it's right or wrong, you can play the best game because remember, but people will, you have the opportunity here to almost force your, make yourself have a bitter jury against you if the people that you're annoyed with and they start to pick up on the fact that you don't like them. Like, Sari apparently is doing a very good job if she is really annoyed with Bowie Jane, yet Bowie Jane still comes to her for comfort.
Yes.
And so Izzy needs to be very aware that this is, jury management is a thing, and I get we're not in jury yet, but it's most, more than likely, Bowie Jane is making it to jury.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you navigate that, go forward, if you want to find yourself pitching to be the winner? So, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
We actually didn't do bad on time. No. Considering I thought we were going to be much longer. But with that, we will be back next week to recap Cameron's HOH.
Yeah.
Talk to you all later.
See ya.